Good to see each and every one of you this morning. I ask that you would pray for me as I stand before you for just a little while. I'm going to back up a little bit into the fourth chapter of Hebrews. We spoke last week about entering into rest. In believing that Jesus Christ paid the price for your sin debt. We spoke about the rest that gives a child of God in this world. And it's nice and wonderful to enter into that rest and to know that Jesus Christ offered Himself to God for us and on our behalf, and that there's no more sacrifice for sins. That's great rest to me. But I want us to remember that, did that make all your problems go away? Did it?
No.
Do you still have doubts? Do you still have fears? Do your sins still bother you?
Yes.
They do, don't they? Mine do.
Yeah.
If your sins don't bother you, then I question a lot of things about you. So, Paul begins, or he finishes chapter 4, by the way, man put these chapter breaks in here. I'm just going to read it the way that it was intended to be read, I imagine. He says in verse 11, verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What he's establishing here is that the fact that having this great high priest who is passed into the heavens that made his sacrifice to God, he's setting the stage for us that we still have problems. And we still have need. And we still need help. And the only way that we can find that help or get that find that grace and mercy is to come to the throne of grace boldly. Now that boldly doesn't mean that we say, I deserve this. You give it to me. That's not that kind of boldness. It's the boldness that arises from your understanding that Christ made the sacrifice for you on your behalf. It's the boldness that comes from understanding that He's your high priest. It's the boldness, and really, it's that cheerful confidence in Christ.
Right.
It's that boldness that gives you really that fearless confidence that He's yours.
Right.
And that you're His. Now, then he says, he goes to establish, and Paul summarizes, he begins here talking about the priestly duties. And he's going to summarize this and kind of set the stage, because he's going to develop this idea that he introduces here all throughout the rest of Hebrews. All throughout the rest of it. And he says, and he talks about the earthly priests first and their duties. He says, for every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof, he ought, as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sins. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, he's talking about Christ now, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered.
Right.
And being made perfect, yet learned he obedience by the thing. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God, an high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now I said a mouthful, and I'm going to try to summarize it for you in just a minute or two. You're wondering how I'm going to do that, ain't you? I am too. Christ, God, set up the priestly system as a figure of the great high priest, Christ. And every priest taken from among men has a duty to do. And his duty is to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. That's what man does. And every high priest that was taken from men was supposed to be an unbroken succession. You had to meet the qualifications to be a high priest. And if you didn't meet the qualifications, no matter how bad you wanted to be high priest, you couldn't be it, because you didn't meet up to the mark.
Right.
But having met the qualifications for this high office, you were able and had the duty of offering gifts and sacrifices for sins. Now, the problem with the high priest is, taken from among men, is that, well, first of all, they had to be called of God. A man that wants that office, that is not called of God to hold that office, will be an impotent and ineffective high priest. Right? Because if God didn't call him, then his words are going to be vanity. They're going to be empty. And his duty will be a stink in the nostrils of God, and it will be due despite to the people that come. Now, so this high priest, as he does his priestly duties that he's qualified for, the problem that he's got is he's also got to offer himself for sins, because he himself is also compassed with infirmities. Aren't you glad that there are people that offer things for you? I mean, offer up prayers for you. Aren't you glad that they're compassed about with infirmities? I'm glad that the people that pray for me know my problem because they got my problem too. They got problems. And that's why God set up this priesthood, was to show that the high priest, even in his duties, was going to be also compassed about with infirmities. Now, because when I have a problem, I like to talk to people that know something about my problem.
Right.
Don't you? If I've got somebody that's lying to me, let's say, well, that might not be a good example because everybody gets lied to. But if I have somebody that's really trying to run me in the ground, I'm going to try to find somebody that's been in that situation before because they can identify with me. Right? Like drug addicts don't really want to take advice from somebody who's never been there and been hooked on drugs.
Right?
This high priest can offer gifts and sacrifices for sins, but he's got to do it for himself first. And he can have compassion on the ignorant and them that out of the way. Why is that? Because he's ignorant and out of the way himself.
Right.
A preacher or any other priest or any person that gets up and thinks that he's better than you is an impotent priest or preacher. His words will be ineffective and his duty will be vain. Y'all got that?
Yes.
Now, called of God, as was Aaron. That was the unbroken succession of the priesthood, right? You had to be of the order and tribe of Aaron to be this priest. And without that lineage, you couldn't be a priest because you didn't meet the qualifications. But it says here that Christ was a son. He didn't glorify himself to be made a priest, was it? He didn't come here and take and say, okay, I'm here. I'm your high priest. He didn't take it upon himself. That office was bestowed to him by the Father. And what are the qualifications for Jesus to stand qualified as a high priest? Because God said, this day have I begotten you. What does that mean? It means that he's a son of God. He's not a son of Aaron. Right? He's a son of God. That qualification goes way back farther than the priesthood. Y'all remember the priesthood started with Aaron after Moses brought them out of the wilderness. Right? But Israel was already a nation then, wasn't it? And so his priesthood is not after that order. It doesn't follow that same general thing. The qualifications for him, this is what I mean. The qualifications that Christ had to meet to be a high priest was not after the qualifications of the figure. Y'all understand that? His qualifications went way back before that. Before they were even a nation, in Melchizedek, and you know who was this Melchizedek? Y'all know that? He was the king of Salem. He was a high priest. He was both king and priest. Got it? Boy, there's a lot of preaching in this. Melchizedek was a king and priest, and guess who paid tithes unto that priest? It was Abraham that really did obeisance to him and paid tithes to Melchizedek. Way before God even called them to be a nation. Got it? But But Christ goes way as the high priest. Goes way, meaning the qualifications to be high priest, way before Melchizedek. Amen? The eternal Son of God is a high priest from before there was a man that had life breathed into him. That, wow. This eternal high priest took on flesh. I can't even believe that. This high priest took on flesh so that he would be able to identify with your pain.
Right.
He took on flesh to be able to identify with your sufferings, with your fears, your thoughts, your understanding of things. And this high priest, when he was in the garden, prayed to God, to the Father, that if it were possible to let this cup of suffering pass from him, but it was, and then, but even as a man, he said, but even so, thy will be done. He's a faithful high priest. He could have said, I'm not doing it. But he loved you too much. He loved his people too much.
Amen.
So Christ, after he did that with strong crying and tears, God heard him because he had that reverence and godly fear, didn't he? And when Christ, when he was there, he was about to enter into the accomplishment of his priestly duties in bearing the sufferings for sin and making the offering for sin to God for sin on your behalf, to bearing the shame of the cross, to doing all that stuff. He did that so that he would first atone for your sins, but also it was a dual nature, a dual accomplishment of what he did there. But he understood what it was like for you to suffer. He understood what it was like to be human because he was manifest in the flesh.
Right.
You remember it says in the days of his flesh. He understood. If Christ had come down sinless and had offered himself as a sinless one, and he did. He did offer himself as a sinless one without taking any sins upon him. How could in the world could he identify with you? How in the world could he do it? He couldn't identify with you because he didn't know what it was like to suffer. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross.
Right.
And he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. That sounds strange, doesn't it? That Jesus would learn obedience. How did he learn obedience? That doesn't mean that he wasn't obedient, but he learned to be obedient. That means he learned obedience because he had never experienced what it was like to be disobedient. He had never experienced what it was like to die and to suffer. So he had to learn the kind of obedience that we have to learn by going through what we go through on a daily basis. The sufferings of death. And you know what? Because Jesus Christ was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, and tasted death for every man, because he did that, you can stand rest assured that he's on the right hand of the throne of the majesty on high, making intercession for you, because he knows what you're going through.
Right.
And on that basis, you can come boldly to the throne of grace to find grace and mercy to help in time of need because you have a faithful high priest that knows your problems. You've got a faithful high priest that knows what it's like to suffer. He knows what it's like to die. He knows what it's like for you to go through the problems of life. Yes, he paid for your sins, but you still got problems. You need help for those problems, you go to the throne of grace.
Amen.
You go to the throne of grace.
Amen.
you hit your knees and you talk to God a little bit. Talk to somebody who's been there. Talk to somebody who knows your problems because He died for your sins. Talk to Him. Let Him know how much you love Him. Let Him know how thankful you are. Let Him know how much you appreciate what He did for you. And yes, ask Him for grace. Ask Him for help. And He'll give it to you.
Amen.
Because He knows what you've been through. May the Lord bless you is my prayer. Come on, Brother Danny.